Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ksubos, Daf Kuf Dalet. I'm dictating this from a sukkah in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, and I wish everybody a Moadim L'Simcha. Everybody should have a wonderful Yontif. It's Hashem, we should all be Zocha to be in Yerushalayim, B'mher B'Yameinu, with Mashiach Tzukeinu. We're learning today, Le'ilu Nishmas, Joseph Silber, Yosef Ephraim HaKoed, Ben Sion. All the Shalms we learn for Shevet Aliyah from our learning. And we pick up in the Gemara from the word Tanya, two lines in the bottom of Kof Gimel Omid Beis. We're in the middle of the story of Rebbe's Patira at Nebuch, the great Yehuda Anasi, and we continue, and we pick up that when Rebbe was passing away, when he was in the period of time right before he was Nifter, the Gemara tells us, Tanya, Rebbe Mutal B'Tzipori. He was sick, lying in a bed in Tzipori. However, he was going to be buried in Beis Sha'arim. M'moko Mulchan Lo, Nebuch, the grave that he would be buried in, was in Beis Sha'arim. Not that far away, but not in the same place where he was now Nebuch sick. So Vatanya, Gemara says, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdov, we darsh in the Pasuk, that one should always try to do Tzedek, run after righteousness, so Halech Acha Rebbe LeBei Sharim. So an example of doing this, we darsh in homiletically, is that you should follow Rebbe to go to Beis Sha'arim. So we see that Rebbe lived in Beis Sharm. So how come if he's sick, he was in Tzipori? So Gemara tells us, Rebbe in Beis Sharm Hava. Yes, Rebbe's Beis Medrash was in Beis Sharm, and that's where Rebbe spent most of his time. But Nebuch, he got sick. Elokivin Decholash, as I mentioned yesterday in the Shia, Rebbe was sick for a very long period of time, suffering for the sins of Klai Yisrael, and he had very, very severe gastrointestinal illnesses, as the story that we will see in a moment. And Rebbe need to go to a different climate. So Elokivin Decholash, when he got sick, Amtuyi L'Tzipori, they brought him to Tzipori, as we'll see in Rashi, and we turn to Kufdal Lomid Aleph. There was a mountainous area, the Medallia, it was high up, as Rashi says, Daminu Meseches Megillah, Lomanikor Shemot Tzipori. Why was the city of Tzipori known as Tzipori? Shioshevis Biro Shahar Kitzipori. It was on the top of the mountain, the city of Tzipori, like a bird, lofty in the air. So, therefore, Ubasim Avira, it had very, very nice, clear, and very aromatic air. In other words, nice, clear air. They used to have the idea that when people were never sick with tuberculosis, they would bring them to places where the air was clear, where the air was not at all smoggy or polluted, but nice, clean, fresh air. So that was a similar idea that they brought Rebbe to the city of Tzipori. That's why he was sick there. And Nebuch, when he died, they brought him to Beis Sharm, where it tells us what happened on the day that Rebbe died. How Yoma, the Noch Nafshe the Rebbe, on the day that Rebbe died, Gozru Rabbanan Tanisa, the Tamid in the Beis Medrash, they were Gozru Tainis, that everybody should fast, that Rebbe should live, and that Rebbe should be having a Refuah Shlema. Bar Rachmi, they dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem should have mercy on Rebbe. Yamri, they said, Kol Man Yoma Noch Nafshe the Rebbe, anybody that says the Rebbe died, Yidoker Bacherev, he should be pierced with a sword. They should run him through with a sword. In other words, they didn't want to know that Rebbe passed away. They wanted to continue davening for Rebbe. They thought the Rebbe would be zochet to have a nace even if he died. So that's how great Rebbe was. As we saw in the previous story, the Rebbe came back from the dead, and he was able to do so as Rebbe was an unbelievably great tzaddik, and therefore they didn't want anybody to tell them that Rebbe had died. So they said, if anybody tells us Rebbe died, then we have to stop davening, because it would be a tefila shav, and therefore yidokei b'cherev, he should be slit through with a sword. Sulika anase de Rebbe le'igra. Meanwhile, the Rebbe's maidservant, the one that was taking care of Rebbe, she's a very famous woman throughout Shas, so anase de Rebbe, this maidservant who was taking care of Rebbe, went up to the rooftop, le'igra, and Omra, and she said, Elyonim in Shamayim, the Elyonim of Akshamas Rebbe. They want to take Rebbe back. In other words, they're looking to have Rebbe go back to Shamayim by taking him away from this world. But Tachtonim, those people here on this world in the Beis Medrash of Akshamas Rebbe, they also want Rebbe. They want to stay here on this world. So originally, Amasa the Rebbe, Rebbe's maidservant said, Yiratzon, Shabi, will HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shiokofu HaTachtonim, Esalyonim, that those that are on the bottom, in other words, here in the Beis Medrash, they should overcome the Malachim HaYonim. They should overcome the will of Shemayim, and that Rebbe should stay alive. However, Kibon de Chazoi Kamazimne de Oyle Beis Hakise, she saw Nebuch how bad and severe the gastrointestinal illness that Rebbe had was, that he had to constantly go to the bathroom. Now, when he went to the bathroom, he had to take off his tefillin. He wore his tefillin all day. So the Cholat's tefillin umarachlo. So he went to the bathroom and take off his tefillin. Then he came out of the bathroom and had to put him back on. Then Nebuch had to go to the bathroom again and take him off. And he had to go put him back on. So she saw how difficult it was with Komitzar and how painful it was for Nebuch for Rebbe. So she changed her vote. So Amra, she said, Yiratzon, let it be your will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shiakofu Elyonim, Esetachtonim. Let the Elyonim, those people that are in Shemayim, in other words, the angels, let them win out and defeat the Beis Medrash in this world, the Tachtonim, from their davening, and that Rebbe should nebuch be taken from this world. And this brings us to a very, very, very interesting question. Are you allowed to daven for somebody to die? The answer of the Rebbe originally davened for Rebbe to live, but then she essentially davened here for Rebbe to die. And this is a very famous machlokes, and the Ran in the Darim Paskins like this Amasa the Rebbe, like the maidservant of the Rebbe, and says it is permitted under certain circumstances to daven for a person to die. And the Aruch HaShulchan, in fact, paskins like that. However, the vast majority of the poskim disagree. The Tzitz Eliezer, Zatzal, the great Rebbe Eliezer Waldenberg, Zatzal, who was the posek in Shari Tzedek Hospital and wrote his 20-plus volume Sefer, so Tzitz Eliezer, so he very, very strongly disagrees with the Aruch HaShulchan and says one should never daven for a person to die, it's improper. And Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal has an intermediate shita. He says if you're a Nogeh B'Dovi, you certainly shouldn't daven for somebody to die, but under certain circumstances, it might be permissible to daven for somebody to die. However, the best eitz is to daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do the best thing for this person. If this person should be better that they stay alive, so then you're davening Hashem, do what's best for this person. Sometimes it's for Hashem to take this person, and sometimes it's better for the person to have the Yisurim on this world. So that's what I tell people, that the best eitz is to daven that Hashem should do what's best for this person. In any event, Amsa the Rebbe now daven that in Shemayim they should win. However, the Chacham didn't stop having a Tehillim rally, having all the Tfilos and fasting for Rebbe to live. So what did she do? Shaklokuza, she takes a jug that's made out of klicheres, and she throws it on the ground, Shadja Meigra Liara, she throws it from the rooftop where she was onto the ground, it makes a huge noise, and Ishtiku Merachmi, so they all stop davening, they stop saying Tehillim for that minute. And at that moment, Noch Navshe the Rebbe, at that moment Rebbe passed away. So now the Chacham did not know that Rebbe had passed away, so they told Bar Kapara, who was one of the major Bali Plukta of Rebbe, they said to Bar Kapara, Zeal, you go, and Ayin, go and check out to see what is the status of the Rebbe. We can't keep on davening for Rebbe to have a full shleimah if we know Nebuch that Rebbe dies. So they wanted to find out what's the story with Rebbe, how's Rebbe doing. So Azal, Bar Kapar went, and Ashkeche, he found out the Noch Nafshe, that Rebbe, in fact, had passed away. Now, they had put a chayim, so to say, on anybody that said that Rebbe died. They said, Yidoka b'chayim, anybody tells them that Rebbe died. So what did he do? Kare l'levushe, he ripped Kriya. When the Gadol Hador dies, and certainly he knew Rebbe personally, they were Bali Plukta, so he ripped his garment, Kare l'levushe. However, he didn't leave it in the front. Ahadre, he turned it around, the kare, the rip, he turned it around, lachare, so it wouldn't be noticeable that he had ripped kriya. Once everybody saw him rip kriya, so they would know that Rebbe died. So then he went back to the Talmidei Chacham and possibly Amr, and he said to them, Er Eilim is another word, Rashi says, for Malachim, for the angels. And Umetzukim, Rashi says that's another word for Mitzuke Aretz, that's the Tzadikim. So the angels and the Tzadikim, Achazubi Aron HaKodesh, each holding on to the Aron HaKodesh, which is a reference over here for Rebbe. Rebbe Yakodesh. And Nitzklu Ereilim Esamatsukim. And he said that the angels, the Ereilim, the Malachim, have overcome the Mitzukim, the Tzadikim. Vinishpo Aron HaKodesh. And the Aron HaKodesh, meaning Rebbe, has been captured and is up in Shemayim. So the rabbis understood what Bar Kapara was talking about, and they asked, Noch Nafshei, has Rebbe passed away? And Amalu, so he told the Chacham, hey, you didn't hear it from me. Atun Kamisa, you said it. Vanolo Kamimna, I didn't say it. Because again, Yidokei B'cherev, anybody that tells them the Rebbe died would be pierced with a sword. So therefore, he told them, but didn't tell them directly. Bar continues and says, B'shas Piti Rosal Shal Rebbe, at the time that Rebbe passed away, Zokav Eser Etzbiosov Klapi Malo, he put his 10 fingers up in the air towards Shemayim and Omar, and he said, Ribbono Shalom, he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Golui V'yodua Lefanecho Shiyogati B'Eser Etzbiosai BaTorah. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that all I did with my 10 fingers was work towards the Torah. I didn't do anything else with my 10 fingers other than the advancement of Torah. Below Neneisi Afilu B'Etzva Ketana, and I didn't get any benefit from my fingers, even my little pinky, even the etzba ketana, I didn't get any benefit. It was all totally l'shem shemayim. Here it's for necho. Therefore, should be a will HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shehei shalom b'menuchasi, that there should be shalom for me in the place b'menuchasi, in the place where I'll be resting for all eternity. There should be a menucha in that place. So yotzo basko. So basko rang up for shemayim v'yomer, and basko said yavo shalom v'yanuchu al mishkavosam. Yes, peace should come. And Yanuhu, you shall all rest al Mishkav Osam, on all of your resting places, which is again is strange. We're going to ask in a second. Rebbe is talking about a singular, so it should have said Yavo Shalom v'Yanuach al mishkaval, or some lashon like that. Why did it say in the plural that the peace shall rest upon all of your resting places? Before we answer that, I just thought on my own that by Yosef HaTzadik, it tells us that when he was Chas v'Shalom thinking of being with Eishes Potiphar, and he was able to overcome that strong and unbelievable Yetzirah, so he dug his 10 fingers into the ground, and it says that the Zerah went out from his body through his fingers. So again, there's some idea over here with the fingers serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Rebbe was saying over here, that my fingers, they were used totally to serve you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In any event, the war continues, and asks the question that I just said, Al Mishkovcha Miboyle, you should have said, Yanuach in the singular, and in your place. In other words, Rebbe, you should be comfortable in your place for all eternity. Why did it say all of you should be comfortable? So Gemara tells a very interesting story. This is in accord with what Rebbe Chiya bar Gamda said. What did he say? Rebbe Chiya bar Gamda said the name of Rebbe Yossi ben Shaul. When a great tzaddik passes from this world and goes to Olam HaMes, so Omri Malachei Asharis today Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam. So the Malach was saying in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, you, Kodesh Baruch Hu, created the world, tzaddik ploni ba. They announce that a certain tzaddik has now come to the Olam HaMes. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says back to them, Omri Lahem, Yavoh Tzaddikim, V'yetzu Likraso. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says back to the Malachim, go and gather great tzaddikim to go and greet this new tzaddik that's coming to the Olam HaMes. V'yomelo, and when the great tzaddikim come to greet the new tzaddik that's there, V'yomelo, they say to him, Yavoh B'shalom, you shall come in Shalom. And then it says, Yanuchu al Mishkavosam. They all then shall go back to their places. So it doesn't only refer to the new tzaddik that's coming there, but then all of the tzaddikim go back to their places where they're resting, so to say, in Shemayim. Amr Bilazar. Bilazar continues and he says, "V'shar shatzadik niftam in olam nebuch." When a great tzaddik dies in this world, shalosh kito shemalachi asharis yotzul tekroso. So there are three groups of angels that come out to greet such a person, such a great tzaddik, when he comes to the Olam HaMes. So they each say a different thing. Achas v'meris, the one says to the great tzaddik, "Bo b'shalom," you should come with your shalom. Now, normally when we say to a person, you know, go away, wish him well on a trip, so we say, lech lishalom. You should go towards your peace. In other words, you haven't completed your task in this world, and you should continue to do it. However, when you say lech bishalom, or in this situation, bo bishalom, so that implies that you have all of your shalom. In other words, you have everything that you've earned in this world, so that's what you have. Olam Emes is not a place to go and earn things. So you can't lech lishalom, but it's bo bishalom. With whatever shalom you've created for yourself, that's what you'll have in the Olam Emes. That's the first group of angels. That's what they say. Second group says, V'yachas v'meres, the Kasa Sheni says, Holech nichocho. He walks in a very yashadik way, the straight path, and a straight route. That's what the second group of angels say about him. As Rashi says, Holech nichocho means derech yishori. He goes on the yashadik way. He goes on the straight and narrow path. The Achaz Omerzel, the third group, tells him, Yavo Shalom, Yanucha Mishwasam. The third group is the one that says, these angels, they say that you should come with your peace, and you shall go, and all the tzaddikim will rest in their places. If they come to greet you, they'll all rest in their places. But Rabbi Elazar continues, he says, B'shosh Rasha Neva Bin Olam. When a Rasha leaves this world, he's not Niftar Bin Olam, he's Nevad Bin Olam. He's lost forever from this world. Right? A tzaddik just is parted from this world. Baruch Hashem, he lived his life in a proper way, and he had to be put down on this world. Right? They have the famous machlos as to whether it's better for a person to be born or not to be born. And the Gemara decides in Erevin that it's better for a person not to have been born. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu hadn't put us on this world, we never would sing. So, bottom line is, he's potim in olam, and tzaddik is niftim in olam, he Baruch Hashem survived this world. Whereas the Rasha is totally lost, nevad min olam. And the angels about the Rasha say, shalosh kita shemalach chabala yotzos l'kroso. So, you have three destroying angel groups that go out to greet such a Rasha. And they say the following three psukim to him, achaz umeres, ein shalom amar Hashem l'rishoyim, that you'll never have peace. The tzaddikim come bishalom, but you'll never have peace. That's what they say to the Rasha. The second group says, achaz umeres, lo, l'matzeva yishkav. Matzev is a lashon of otzov, of sadness. So you'll lie down over here in sadness. Now, that's because they were sad, because they didn't do what they should have done in this world. And the third group of destroying angels say, V'achas omerislo, rido v'yoshkiva es arelim. You go down, meaning you'll go down to Gehenim, and you'll be with all those people that were arelim. You lie with all the people that are arelim, those people that didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they have what's called orlas halev. They never did the circumcision on the orla of their lave, and that means that they were Nebuch Rishoyim, and that's unfortunately where these Rishoyim are going to be for their reward for the rishus that they did in their lifetime. So that concludes the fantastic story about Rebbe's Petira, and we go on to the next Mishnah, getting us back to Kesubah. So the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us, "Kos man shi beis aviyah," while the Nebuch, the widow, is still in the beis aviyah, in her father's house. So we have the opinion of the Tana Kama is govek subas al yolam. There is no limit on when she can collect the Kesubah. She can collect the Kesubah for the rest of her lifetime, more than even 25 years, as we'll see in a moment. 25 years is a cutoff, according to the opinion of the Bar Plukta of the Tana Kama. So she's able to go collect her ksuba for all of the rest of her life, and the yorshim can collect after her if she dies, because she never collected ksuba. That's an IOU, that's a debt to her. So if she's living in her father's house, in other words, she's not staying in her nebuch, her dead husband's house with the yorshim, so then she can collect the ksuba at any time. There is no time limit on it. It doesn't have a expiration. It doesn't have a statute of limitations. However, kozman should be based bala, but if she's living in her husband's house, Nebuch, the husband died, and she's living in her husband's house in the estate, and she's living in today's Bala, so then she only has 25 years to collect the Ksuba. Go Ksuba, so ad esim chomei shonim. She's allowed to live there and be supported, and she doesn't have to collect the Ksuba, but if after 25 years like this have passed, and she did not collect the Ksuba, she's essentially been moichel mochelis on her Ksuba. And the reasoning for that is because during these 25 years, as Rashi points out, in Dibra Maslo Shitas Etova, Minichse Yisomen, Mistama, she did good things with the property of the Yisomen, which she didn't have a right to do. You know, Senes Lechem, Melech L'Shchenel. So when people would knock on the door, she would give them some bread, she would give them some salt, she would give them some things. So in 25 years, she essentially would use up her Ksuba in ways that she was allowed to, but it's deducted from her Ksuba. So the opinion of the Tana Kama is that if she's in her father's house, she never uses up any of that money because she's not giving out any money from the estate. But if she's in the Beis Bala, so then after 25 years, Mistama, she's used up the money from the estate that would have paid for her ksuba, and therefore after 25 years, she's not entitled to a ksuba. That's the opinion of the Tana Kama. Divrei Rebbe Meir, Sh'amar Mishum, Rabbi Mishum Gamliel. This is the opinion of the Tana Kama. Rebbe Meir, who sent it over in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. However, the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim Amrim calls Banshi be Beis Bala, the exact opposite. While she's in the Beis Bala, Govik Subas Yolim, then she can collect her Ksuba forever. And Rashi explains, in Dibra Masal Chom Amrim, Lohusgru Esim Vichom Eish Leidin Atova, Shetase, they don't agree with the, that she's basically using up the Ksuba in the 25 years. Below Av Sedua Rabban Ksuba, the rabbis did not tell her that she lost her Ksuba during this 25 years. That's only le'in ha-mechila. When they say that this 25 years is a mechila, it's only huskru, the whole vishoska, the lotova, kol ha-shanim halalu, so machlosa. So it's only after 25 years that she mustama was mocheles on her ksuba. And therefore, hilka chotzman she bideis bala, while she's in her husband, her dead husband's estate, in the house that she lived in, the fact that she's silent even for 25 years doesn't mean she was mochelis on a ksuba. Ella, why is she silent? So he bosha limchos al ksubasa. So in fact, she is being treated so well there, they're taking good care of her, so she's embarrassed to ask for a ksuba. So she's never really mochelis on a ksuba, but she's embarrassed to ask for a ksuba because they're treating her so nicely. But avo beveis avi, in her father's house, mishishosko, kafe ishanim, mechilahi. But the Chachamim say, in her father's house, where there's no reason why she shouldn't demand a ksuba, mistame, after 25 years, if she didn't ask for it, so she says, I'm mochelis on the ksuba. So pumfaket, the Chachamim, are totally the opposite of the Tanakam, Reb Meir, who said it over the name of Reb Shimon Gamliel. So this is totally the opposite shita. Now, Morris says, Mesa, if Nebuch, she dies, so then Yerushal, maskirin subasa ad esim v'chomishonim. So then, the Chachamim say that if the period of time when she is allowed to go and collect the suba during her lifetime is for her entire lifetime, nevertheless, the Yerushim of her, they only have 25 years to go and collect the suba no matter what. Now, they're only actually entitled to the ksuba if the mother had sworn that she never collected it. Otherwise, when the yarshim are going to go collect her ksuba on her behalf, so the estate can say, well, how do you know that her husband didn't give her tsroros? How do you know the husband didn't go and give her the ksuba already? So she can say, I swear, I didn't get this. But the yarshim, unless the mother had sworn that she didn't get it, so then the yarshim can't go and make that claim. And therefore, they wouldn't be entitled to collect it unless their mother had made the claim that she had never gotten a ksuba from her husband. Okay, we start the Gemara and say, Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef, Abayi Yosef, Aniyah Shebi Yisro. The poor women in Klai Yisro. So They have 25 years. I'd ask the Chomishonim to use up through this concept that the Tanakhama said of basically doing good, Shetase Tova, Minichse Yisomim. So she gives out the bread, she gives out the salt to people. So over 25 years, she uses up the Ksuba. So if the poorest women in Chai Yisrael takes 25 years to use up the Ksuba, well, Marta Bas Baisus. So Marta Bas Baisus is an extremely wealthy woman who's mentioned many times in the Gemara. We'll get to this when we get to the Gemara in Gittin. There's Nebuch stories about how she was fantastically wealthy, and then Nebuch, she dies from poverty because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. In any event, Umarza Bas Baisus. So how could she possibly use up her Ksuba in 25 years? Her Ksuba was huge. At Esavuchom Yishonim, she shared the same 25 years to use up through this Tova that she does, Minichse Yisomim. So giving out a little bit of bread or salt is going to use up a poor woman's Ksuba. But how could it possibly use up Marza Bas Baisus's Ksuba? So this 25 years doesn't make any sense. So Moshe says, yes, it does. Amalei, lefum gamlo shichda. This is an expression we had early in the Masechta, and as well as in Sota, where it says that the camel is able to carry a load depending on what you put on it. So if it's a big camel, so it can carry a very, very big load. It's a small camel, it carries a smaller load. So a strong camel can carry a very big load. So Marasa Bas Baisus, so Mistamba, when she gives away to neighbors and the people that come, she doesn't give away just a little bit of bread and a little bit of salt. She gives them a big suda. So she gives away 25 times as much for a guest that comes to her door than the poor person does. So yeah, over 25 years, she'll even use up her huge kisuba. Okay, Gemara continues and says, Ibar Ludi has the following Shaila in the base Medrash, Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, who says that only when she's living in the house of the ex-husband, the Nebuch, the dead husband, so then she has a 25-year limit. So what happens in that situation? Mahu Shetishalish. So do we say that it's 25 years, Mistama? According to this idea, she gives away a little bit of bread and a little bit of salt. So after the first year, did she use up 1/25 of the ksuba? And then after the second year, she uses up another 1/25 of the ksuba? So in other words, do we prorate it and say that after 10 years, she's used up 10/25 of the ksuba? After 20 years, she's used up 20/25 of the ksuba? So that's the question they ask in the Beis Medrash. And the Gemara says, Teiku, we don't give an answer to this. Well, continues to quote the Mishnah. Says the Chacham Ramim calls man. The Chacham disagree with the Rebbeir. The Chacham say that when she's in her father's house, that's when the 24 years. But if she's in the base Bala, so then there is no limit. So Amalei Abaye Rav Yosef. So Abaye asks again to Rav Yosef, and he says, "Asai kodem shkiyas hachama." I said, I don't understand. If after 24 years and 353 days, so it's in the afternoon of the 354th day, right before shkiyas hachama, so the 25 years aren't up, she can collect her entire ksuba, gov ksuba, so, and then a half an hour later, after the shkiel, the 25 years are up, lo gavya, in that period of time, she's ba'ayi purta achilta, she was mochelis in that period of time. I don't understand, it doesn't make any sense. So, Rav Yosef says, back to him, in, omalei, in, it makes very good sense. Call me the Chachamim Kain He. This is the way every one of the shears of the Chachamim are. As the Gemara now tells us, a mikvah is 40 saw. The Arbaim saw Tovel. You need a mikvah to have exactly 40 saw. If it has 40 saw, you can be Tovel in it. If it has 40 saw minus a kurtov, the Arbaim saw chaser kurtov, ain't yochalit bobet. That small little amount that's missing, so that passels the mikvah, and it's not a kosher mikvah. These are very, very exact measures. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us exact measures. He gave Chachamim the power to give very exact measures. So therefore, there's 25 years. Yes, if it's pre-25 years, it's not Mochelas. If it's a minute past the 25 years, then we assume that the woman, the Almana, has been Mochelas on her Ksuba. I'm reviewed on Rav. Reviewed tells the name of Rav. Hey, Rabbi Yishmol, Rabbi Yossi, Lifnei Rabbi. So Rabbi Yishmol, who's the son of Rabbi Yossi, we spoke about Rabbi Yossi, how great he was the other day. Rabbi said, no. As great as Rav Chiya was, don't even compare him to Rav Yossi. So Rav Yishmol, who was the son of Rav Yossi, testified in front of Rabbi Shama Mishumavu, who said, and he said it over the name of his great Heliga father, Rav Yossi, Lo Shanu, and the Chacham said that the woman loses a ksuba after 25 years, that's only Elushain Shtar Ksuba, Yotze Mitachas Yudea. That's if she doesn't have the Shtar Ksuba. However, if she has a Shtar Ksuba, Avo Shtar Ksuba, Yotze Mitachas Yudea, if she actually has still the Shtar Ksuba, so then Govek, Ksuba, Soliol. Then she's allowed to go collect the Ksuba. There is no limit on when she can collect the Ksuba in that situation. It's only when we had the question of she doesn't have the Ksuba, so that's when we have the machlokas between Rav Meir, the Tanakama, and the opinion of the Chachamim. But if she has a Shtar Ksuba, so then the opinion is that she's allowed to collect it forever. That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rabbi Elazar Amar, Rabbi Elazar disagrees. He says, Afilu shtak suba yotze mitachas yodea, eno gove elad esim v'chom yishonim. He says, no, according to the opinion of either the Chacham or the Meir, when you're not allowed to collect after more than 25 years, that's even if you have the Shtar Ksuba. Okay, the Gemara says, Moser Rosheshes. Rosheshes says the following Shaila, Baal Chov go vishlo biaskara. A Baal Chov is allowed to go and collect a debt, even if it's more than 25 years, even though he didn't mention anything for 25 years, he's allowed to go collect the debt. There's no statute of limitations on the Chov. So what are we talking about? Hechidami. Idlo no kachdar. If he doesn't have a shtar, so then, b'may govi, who would have had any habamina to be able to go collect 27 years after a debt, and he says, yeah, you owe me money. So he doesn't have a shtar. How would he possibly collect? Obviously, elo de no kachdar. It's talking about that he has a shtar. So it says over there, ubal Chov, who de lov, who the love baruch huliyu? Only a baal chov is allowed to go collect the debt after more than 25 years. Implication being, ha'almana, if she's an almana after 25 years, achilta mustama, she's mocheles. So this is a kasha. Even though there seems to be a shtar over here, the baal chov has a shtar. So mustama, we're talking about with the almana has the ksuba. Nevertheless, it seems to imply that only the baal chov can collect after 25 years. The woman with the ksuba cannot collect after 25 years. A kasha and amar yudam arav. So Rav Sheshes was the one that asked this question. Who Mosif Lo? He was the one that asked the question. Who Mafarik Lo? He gave the answer himself. And he says, L'ol of the lo kishtar. We're talking here, the Bachov doesn't have a shtar. The question that we raised then, but my Gavya, how's he able to go collect? L'ochem my eskin, what are we talking about? Kishachayev Moda. Yeah, the guy admitted. He said, yeah, I know, I owe you the money. So if it's 27 years, you're allowed to go collect it in that situation. But that doesn't imply that if you have a shtar, that you can't collect it as the Amana, even after 25 years. So there's no raya against Rav Yudam Arab from this question that Rav Sheshes asked from the Brisa. We have a very similar question that Rav Eloy asked. Rabbi Eloy asked, Shonin, the Chachamim learned in the following Brisa, Grusha, Harehi Kibachov. A Grusha, a woman who hasn't collected a Ksuba, is considered like a Bachov. What does that mean, Hechidami? In what respect? Idalo Nikita Ksuba. If she doesn't have her Ksuba with her, so then how is she going to go collect it? But my Gavya, how can she go and collect her Ksuba if she doesn't have it there? The husband can say, I paid it already. So obviously, aren't we talking here in this price? El alav the Nikita Ksuba, she has a Ksuba, and it seems to say that only a Grusha can collect after 25 years. Ugrusha, he the lav basachul, we assume that she wasn't mocheles, she was divorced, she's not a happy camper. Ha amana achilta, but an amana would in fact be mocheles. So therefore, after 25 years, the amana is mocheles, again, kashan ruhudom arav. So we're getting the same exact terrors that he gave a moment ago. Hochanami, in this case as well. Kishachayev moda, we're dealing over here that the husband admits that he didn't pay a Ksuba. He's an Eruch guy, he didn't like his wife, he divorced her, but lav davka they have to be fighting, and he's an Eruch person, so he admits that he owes her the Ksuba money. The can't bring me a raya, that this would be a proof that if you have a Ksuba, that a Gerusha is allowed to collect, but the Amon is not allowed to collect after 25 years, even if she has a Ksuba. So no raya against Rav Yudam Arab. Now we have a price, in fact, that supports Rav Yehuda Marab. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Yitzchak tells us, Tani Rav Yehuda Bar Koza, Rav Yehuda Bar Koza, Rashi tells us Bar Koza is the name of a Chacham. So Rav Yehuda, who's the son of this Talmud Chacham Koza, and he learned this B'meis Medrash in the Masnis of the Bei Rav Koza, he learned this in the B'meis Medrash where they taught the Brises that Bar Koza taught, and it says over there in this Brisa, Tovok Subasa, if the Almana Nebuch went to go and ask for a Ksuba, we turn to Kufdalit Omid Beis. In this situation, Harehi Kivetchila. As soon as she asked for it, so then we start a new 25 years. So let's say it's the 22 years and she hasn't asked for a Ksuba, and then she asked for a Ksuba. So now she still has 25 years from that point in time. We don't say, well, you only have 3 more years left to collect it. No. From that point in time, she gets another 25 years. Harehi Kivetchila. She's like this was at the beginning. As Rashi says, Umona Chafe Shonim Mishas Tviya. From the moment that she requests a Ksuba, asks for a Ksuba, so from that point on, she still has 25 years to actually go and collect it. Now, the Brisa says, "V'mhoyer shtar ksuba yotzi mitachas yodeha govek ksuba soli olam." But if she has actual ksuba, if she has a shtar ksuba, then she's allowed to go collect that forever. There is no 25-year limit. Oh, this is exactly what Rav Yudam Rav said in the Kasha Rav Elazar. So the Gemara says, "Yeah, this Brisa is a raya to Rav Yudam Amar Rav." Gemara says, "Shalach Rav Nachman by Rav Chista to Rav Nachman bar Yaakov." Rav Nachman, who is the son of Rav Chista, sent to the Rav Nachman, who is the son of Yaakov, the following shaila, and he asked Yaldin Rabbeinu. He was his Rebbe. Rav Nachman bar Yaakov was the Rebbe of Rav Nachman bar Chista, and he said to us, "Teach us, Rebbe, kishishtar ksuba yotzei mitachas yoda machlokes, o kishein shtar ksuba yotzei mitachas yoda, is there a machlokes?" And v'halacha k'divrei mi. And by the way, how do we pass it, like Rav Meir or like the Chachamim? So he's asking really a number of questions. He's asking, do we say that the shtar ksuba is whether you hold like the Chachamim or whether you hold like Reb Meir. If you have the Shtar Ksuba, the Machlokis still exists, or do you say no? In that situation, there's no Machlokis. Everybody agrees, if you have the Shtar Ksuba, you can go collect it. There's no 25-year limit. And the only time they have the Machlokis is if there is no Shtar Ksuba, and then each of them says their respective Shitos, the Chachamim and Reb Meir. And then, by the way, how do we pass it? So Reb Nachman Yaakov answers Reb Nachman Merchis in the following way. Shalach Lei, he sends him back the following answer, that they're only arguing b'she'en shtar ksuba yotzi mitachas yodah machlokes. They're only having a machlokes when there's no shtar ksuba. But avol b'shtar ksuba yotzi mitachas yodah, go b'ksubas liyol. But if there is a shtar, if they have the ksuba, so then both the Chachamim and Reb Meir each agree, even in the situations where they say there's a 25-year limit, then here there is no 25-year limit. She can collect the ksuba forever. So the only time they have a machlokes is if there's no shtar ksuba, b'she'en shtar ksuba yotzi mitachas yodah. And then, to answer the question, how do we paskin? He says, V'alocha k'divrei chachamim. The halacha follows the opinion of the chachamim. Now, why do you have to tell us that? Normally, we have a rule that yochid and a rabbim, the halacha is like the rabbim. So here, mistama, I'm guessing, it's because Reb Meir brought a good raya to it. He says, listen, she, mistama, was osas tova. She was over here constantly giving away some of the ksuba. So it makes a lot of sense. So therefore, you might have thought that Reb Meir is right in this situation. Nevertheless, we still paskin like the chachamim, like the rabbim. Now the Gemara says, "Kosher Redeemer, Redeemer came from Israel to Babel." He said over the following. He said in the name of Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara. So Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi said over the name of Yeshua ben Levi, who said it over the name of Bar Kapara. Again, we just had Bar Kapara previously. He was one of the main Bali Plukta of Rabbi, and he said, "When we said over here that the Chum hold that you're allowed to go and collect the Suba, so we said Lo Shanu El Amon Masayim. So we said in that situation, after 25 years, you don't collect the Mon and Masayim." However, Avot Tosefes, if there's extra in the ksuba for the chibas bia, so the husband added an extra to ksuba, yeshla. So Rav Dimi said that the Chachamim hold, Bar Kapara holds, in that situation, that she is entitled to collect the Tosefes ksuba even after 25 years. Even if she doesn't have the ksuba, but they all admit to it, or certainly if she does have the ksuba, so then in that situation, she's able to go and collect even after 25 years. It's only the Mon and Masayim, 100 or 200, depending on whether she was a psula when she got married or a ba'ula when she got married, that is not going to be able to be collected after 25 years. That's what Radimi said. However, Rabbi Avo said over the name of Yochanan, Rabbi Avo said the name of Yochanan, Afilu Tosefes ain't lo. She also doesn't have the Tosefes Kasuba in the situation where she does not entitle to her Mona and Mosai or Mosayim. The Omer Rabbi Avo, Omer Rabbi Yanai, because Rabbi Avo said the name of Yanai, Tanai Ksuba Kiksuba. Now the Tosefes Ksuba is like a Tanai of the Ksuba. And if the Ksuba isn't able to be collected, the base Mona or Mosayim is not able to be collected, so Rabbi Avo said over the name of Yanai that so too the Tosefes Kasuba cannot be collected. It Manami, we have the following statement that was made in support of Bar Kapara. Am Rabbi Abba, Am Rav Huna, Am Rav. Rabbi Abba said over the name of Huna, said over the name of Rav, Lo Shanu El Amon HaMasayim, that the only time that you can't collect the Ksuba, respectively, Reb Meir and the Chachamim and their respective Shitas, that you can't collect it after 25 years, that's only the Mon HaMasayim, that's only the base Ksuba. Am Tosefes Ksuba, Yeshla. Rav holds like Bar Kapara that you're allowed to go collect the ksuba even after 25 years, the Tosefes ksuba, not the Mon HaMasayim, but even the Tosefes ksuba. Amalei Rabbi Abba l'Rav Huna, so Rav Abba said to Rav Huna, Amar Rav Hachi, did Rav really say this? Does Rav really hold like Bar Kapara? So Rav Huna is surprised, why are you asking me this? Amalei, Ishtika and Ka'amris, are you questioning me because you don't think that Rav held like this? Or, oh, Ashkayim Kamis, or you're basically saying a big Yashikaya to me, you want to buy me a drink because you now know what Rav's opinion is. So what was your intention? Rav Huna says to Rabbi Abba, why were you asking me this? Were you asking me this because you thought I was wrong? Or are you asking me this to give me a big Yashikayach? So I'm like, Rabbi Abba says, Ishtikon Kamina. I spoke this question because I don't think Rav said this. I disagree with you. I don't think that that was Rav's opinion. Mark continues and says, Chamase de Rabbi Chia, the mother-in-law of Rabbi Chia. Now, which Rabbi Chia are we talking about? Rabbi Chia Aricha. This isn't the regular Chia who is the star pupil of Rabbi, as we learned in yesterday's shir. So, here referring to Rabbi Chia Aricha, the very tall Rabbi Chia. And his mother-in-law actually married into Achua Havai. So, it's interesting. His mother-in-law was also his sister-in-law. His mother-in-law married his brother. And therefore, his mother-in-law was also his sister-in-law. In any event, Nebuch, her husband passed away. So Rabbi Chia Aricha's brother passed away, and his mother-in-law now is living back in her father's house. She did not live in her Baal's house, but she went back to her father. And she was being supported over there by none other than her son-in-law, because her son-in-law had inherited his brother. His brother was married to the mother-in-law. As I said, she was also sister-in-law. So it's a funny situation, but he was in the situation of supporting his mother-in-law from the estate of his brother. He was giving her the mazonos at her father's house. So she was an amana living in her father's house. And he went and supported her over there in her father's house for 25 years. After 25 years are up, so he holds like the opinion of the Chachamim that say that in the house of the father, so then there's only 25 years. So no, he reached the 25-year statute of limitations and he stopped sending her the meals, the support, the food that he was sending her. So Lusof, at this point in time, after the 25 years, on the lake, she says to him, no, where's my food? Havli mizoni, how come he stopped giving me food? So he tells her, tells his mother-in-law, his sister-in-law, Amalah, he says to her, sorry, mom, so less loch mizone. You're no longer entitled to the mizonos. It's 25 years. You aren't entitled to get more than 25 years. So she says, okay, I'm not entitled to get the mizonos, so havli ksuba. So then, okay, I'm only entitled to 25 years of support, fine. So pay me the ksuba and I'll go on with my life. So he says to her, sorry, you're not entitled to that either. Amalah, lo mizone yislach. You not only don't have the mizonos, but lo ksuba yislach. And you also don't have the ksuba. Because we hold like the Chachamim that if you're living in your father's house for 25 years and you didn't say anything about the ksuba, so you're mochalas in the ksuba, and therefore you're not entitled to the mizonos or the ksuba. She's not happy about this, so she takes him to a beis din. Divate ledino kamei de Rabba Bar Shila. So she takes him to a beis din in front of Rabba Bar Shila as the judge, the head of the beis din. And Amalei, so Rabba Bar Shila says to Rav Chiya Aricha, no, Emali Izi, do me a favor and tell me. Izi is like an expression, my friend. So Emali Izi, do me a favor and tell me, Gufa diuvda hechiavo, exactly what happened over here in during these 25 years. So Rav Chiya Aricha tells him, Amalei, I was a very, very good son-in-law. Zenisa esrim v'chom I gave her mizonos for 25 years in her father's house, which I technically didn't have to do. I could have given her support in the house of the estate. I gave her 25 years support in her own father's house. And I did it myself, I swear. B'chayai, demar, I swear by you, the b'chasfai, on my own shoulders, amtei lo. I myself brought it to her for these 25 years. Now that's a problem. Amalei, so Rabba Bar Shila says to him, oh, what's the reason over here between the Shita of the Chachamim that say in the father's house, she's a 25-year exemption, statute of limitations. But in the house of the husband, if she lives there, because she's too embarrassed to go and claim her ksuba, so there's no statute of limitations because they treated her so nicely. Well, guess what? You treated your mother-in-law so nicely. So there's no statute of limitations over here in the father's house as well. Because Taima, my Yom HaRabban, why the Chacham hold, calls man she beveis Baalah, go v'ksubas liolim, she's always allowed to collect the ksuba according to Chachamim if she's in the Baal's house, in the dead husband's house, because the Amrina, Mishum Kisufahu, the Lo Tova. She's so embarrassed because they treated her nicely, so she couldn't ask for ksuba. So, not because she was mochelis on it, but she was just too embarrassed. They treated her so nicely. Well, guess what? You treated your mother-in-law so nicely. Hochanami, Mishum Kisufahu, the Lo Tova. Because you treated her so nicely, so she was too afraid, too embarrassed to go and ask for a ksuba at any point in time, so she's not mochelis on it. So therefore, Zil Havla. So Rabba Bar Shila paskin to Rav Chiya Aricha that you have to go continue to either give her mizonos, but since she mustame asked for a ksuba, so now you go have to give her the ksuba and no longer have to give her mizonos. However, Rav Chiya Aricha wasn't happy with his psak, and lo ashkach, he didn't listen to it. So, if you don't listen to the court, so the court writes you a document that you can go collect from the guy that's not listening to the court. So, kosav lo, so Rabba Bar Shila writes to Rav Chiya Aricha's mother-in-law, adrachta. Adrachta is a shtar that she's allowed to go collect from his properties. It's basically a court order saying you can go collect from his properties. Anichse, on his properties. So, what happens? Osel kamei. The Rava. So Rav Chiya Aricha goes to complain in front of the Rava, some of the gears over here, Rabba, in any event, and he says, Amalei, he says to Rava / Rabba, Chazim Arhechen Donan, look what Rabba Bar Shila did, he judged this incorrectly. So Rava / Rabba says, Amalei, Shaper Donach, no, he judged you very, very correctly. You, in fact, have to go pay the ksuba. His svar was 100% right. Okay, new. But now the mother-in-law gets a little bit greedy. The mother-in-law says, Amalei, she says to Rabbah, if you're telling me that Ruchi Aricha, my son-in-law, has to go and pay me, so let him now. So let him go and pay me. Lezel lahadeli peri. So the property that he owes me has been generating produce for all this period of time while we've been litigating. So that produce is mine. So not only does he have to give me the properties for the value of my ksuba, but those properties were mine. So he has to give me the payros that grew on those properties for this period of time that we were litigating. So now, on my law, so Rava says to her, so show me the document, the adrachta, and I'll check it out. So, achvili adrachtech, show me the adrachta, and I'll check out to see what day it was written and what you're allowed to go collect. However, when Rava slash Rabba sees this document that Rabba Bar Shila had written, Chazya de lohava kosuv ba, he saw that it wasn't written properly because he saw they didn't write into the document that you're allowed to collect only the properties that belong to Rav Chi Aricha from the estate of his brother. But they wrote, Bishtamodana de nechosim elu de misna inun. They wrote that she can collect from any of his properties, not only from the properties that belong to the estate. So all of a sudden, the adrachta is no good. So Rava slash Rabba tells to Rav Chi Aricha's mother-in-law, Amar Lo, he says to her, adrachta la shapik siba. Sorry, the adrachta is not a good adrachta. Therefore, you're not allowed to go collect the fields, and you can't collect the pears in the fields. So, okay, she says, fine, the adrachta is not a good adrachta. So Amar Lo, so fine, tezel adrachta, leave the adrachta aside. Eshko miyoma dishlime yoma achrazata adhashta. So, okay, even if the shtar adrachta is no good, but they've been publicly announcing to sell the property so they get the best price for the property, and at least let me get the payrolls from the day that that public announcement finished, so the 30-day period of time that they would normally make these public announcements to get the best price, so let me go collect, at least from that point in time. So Rava tells her, sorry, that's only true if there was no mistake in the adrachta. But as I pointed out, there's a mistake in the adrachta, so the whole announcement is no good as well. So you can't collect anything with this adrachta. You're going to have to start again. So Amrulay, she says to him, wait a second. You, Rava or slash Rabba, or the opinion, you're the one that says that if they make a mistake in a document, so then, even if they forgot to write down achrayis in the document, so it has achrayis in the document anyway. So, in this situation, even though Rabba Bar Shila had made a mistake, so I still should be able to collect on it. It's a mistake in the document, so achrayis tov soferu. It's a mistake, but I should still be able to collect on it. So Amalei Rava slash Rabba says, no. You can't say over here that this is a tosofer. It's a simple mistake, and they just left it out by accident. Because here, even Rabba Bar Shila made the mistake. It's not that he didn't know the din that you only collect from the estate of the husband and not from Rav Chi Aricha's property. But he thought it didn't make any difference. Why not? Because who's sover? Rabba Bar Shila thought, Hani the Hani Diday. All of these properties, Rabba Bar Shila said, belong to Rav Chi Aricha. What difference does it make whether they came to him from the estate of his brother or they're his own properties that are separate from the estate of his brother? Either way, the woman is going to collect. His mother is going to collect from them. And then, what difference does it make if he gives him this property, he gives him that property? Either way, she's going to get a property. Mali Mihani, Mali Mihani. So therefore, Rabba Bar Shila thought it didn't make any difference, and that's why he wrote it out that way. It wasn't a toes sofer. It was a mistake that he made. And it's not just a simple toes of the sofer. But Rabba Bar Shila himself made the mistake. And Rava says he was wrong, the lohi, because there is a gzeir over here that the rabbis made. Well, technically, Rabba Bar Shila was right. He says, what difference does it make which property he gives him? So he'll be left with the other property. Nevertheless, Zimnim, you know what? If he was a wily person, so what he could have done is, Zimnim, the Azla, Umashmucha Luhu. So he gives her one of his properties, and he lets her go and improve it. And she puts in money to it, and she improves it. Udebala Machsife. Meanwhile, he doesn't do anything for the estate's property, the ex-husband, the dead husband's property. And then, after she's improved his property, he says to her, oh, you took the wrong property. Shekil didach, v'havli didi. Go take your dead husband's property and give me back my property, the one that you improved so much. And therefore, this could occur. And technically, the woman would have to go give him back the property that she improved and take the property that has been essentially run down because he didn't put any money into it. And therefore, va'asi lafuki laza bedina. And you know what's going to happen? As Rashi says, shlo ainu betakanta shozu. The woman's going to go complain and say, ah, that beis din, they didn't have my best interests at heart. That beis din, they made it terrible for me. I lost so much money by putting in all that the fertilizer and other stuff into the field. And my field went decrepit because he didn't put any money into that field. Ah, that beis din. So therefore, it's going to cast aspersions on the beis din. And therefore, the rabbis made a takana, and Rabbi Bar Shila is incorrect in saying, mali mehani, mali mehani. It does make a difference not to cast aspersions on Beis Din. So therefore, Rabbi Bar Shila, his adrachta was no good. It's not considered a Torah Sofer, and she'd have to go start again and get a proper adrachta written so she can go collect from Rav Chiya Aricha. Hadron Lecha Anosei, Hadron Lecha Anosei, Hadron Lecha Anosei. We finish off the beautiful 12th parak. Mitzvah Shem tomorrow, we'll start the 13th parak, but with this we conclude today's shir.